Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk Spotsylvania schools this morning. Dr. Scott Baker is here, Spotsylvania School Superintendent. Dr. Baker, good morning. I can't believe it's the end of school.
Good morning, Ted. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. It is hard to believe, but I think that the countdown has truly begun, and for students and staff and parents, I think, ready to transition into the summer.
It's funny. My wife is a teacher, and I hear the countdown from her on the morning show on our sister station, B101.5. A lot of bus drivers each day for the last week or so have been counting 6 days left. You know, every day you hear it's counting down. So it's a lot of people looking forward to it, and we'll talk about it. It's going to be a short summer, but boy, the school year has been every year it just seems like it goes faster and faster.
It does go really fast, and this time of year goes really fast because there's so many things happening every single day. We've been finishing up our assessments, obviously for all levels, but today I'll actually, after this opportunity, I'll go and see our special games that'll be taking place out at Massaponics High School, and then there are award assemblies happening at all different levels over the next week. So it's truly a big time of the year, but one that we're very excited to be a part of.
Well, and this is, boy, you talk about a busy weekend. This is a busy weekend for you and the school board. Just looking at graduation is this weekend. Friday night at 5, you're at Chancellor. Friday night at 7:30, you're at Cortland. And then Saturday, Massaponics at 9, Spotsylvania at noon, and then Riverbend at 3. And I know you have them spread out because you and the school board who go to all of these with traffic and all, it takes you a while sometimes to get from point to point. But busy time, but it's an exciting time to be up on stage and to see everyone graduate. It's got to be really a thrill.
It is. It represents the culmination of all of the work that we do in our school division and in public education. And for some of us now that have been around long enough, you see students that you remember starting kindergarten, going all the way through, to this moment of graduation. And I am very proud to be a part of a school division and representing a school board who I get to work with each day that is committed to trying as an entire body to attend each of our graduations and places that importance on them, because it certainly is an important day for so many. But again, it represents a really important time to consider all that, how we've impacted these lives of our children, and how they're going to be going on to hopefully very exciting transitions, whether it's into college or into the workforce. We're just real excited to be a part of that.
Well, and I'm always been struck when you go to graduation, all the other things that swirl around education and all of the kind of a lot of the things that you and the school board you have to do to make a school run. But you go to graduation and you see the awards and the scholarships and those kind of things, and that's what it's all about. That's why you got into education.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I've been able to see in attending many of our senior awards assemblies at the high schools is that each year we're seeing more and more of our students that are competitive and receiving and having awarded more and more scholarship funds. You know, that continues to be on the rise for our students, and it's something
amazing.
Very
number.
It really is, and it's very important, obviously, with the cost of college. And so to see more and more of our students having that opportunity to have that cut in half or cut off completely taken care of is very important. But it also it does symbolize and represent the very hard work of all of our educators. And as you said, graduation represents that transition all the way through school and beyond. it also, it's interesting, so many different teams and departments help to put together the graduations. You know, we get to sit up on stage, but behind the scenes, there are so many folks from maintenance to transportation to communications. I mean, you name it, they have played a role in just making sure that those graduations hopefully go off without a hitch.
I know each school does. They do a lot of practicing, and a lot of the teachers are involved in various roles that day for each of these schools, and it's. You know, obviously, it's obviously a big day. As far as logistics go, I know in the past anyway, there has been each school's particular graduation, the doors close at a certain time, and you need to give yourself some time to be there.
Yeah, I don't have anything in front of me that says the exact cutoff time for each of them, but I know that usually within that 30 minutes, you know, leading up to, they're trying to get folks settled and definitely try to start right on time. And of course, we do have, you know, additional areas for folks to view the graduation who come on site in areas where they can watch it live streamed. And that has, at least since I've been here, has been a very much appreciated opportunity for folks because they get to be present. But if we can't fit all those folks into the gymnasiums, they are able to still experience that moment. And of course, folks out in the community and around the state can also watch it, and even out of state, be a part of that experience through the live streaming.
That is nice. If you go to the school system's webpage, you'll see the links to each school and in each one, and you can. That's really a nice thing, because unfortunately, you just don't have the space for everybody. So tickets are limited in the gym.
Yes, and that's something that we've, you know, each year continued to not only receive feedback on, but to look at, are there any potential singular venues that could provide not only additional space, but to accommodate, you know, all of our, you know, having five high schools, all of our graduations. And so far we have not been able to locate, you know, the type of venue that would provide the same level of access or really seating for being able to view it. But we will continue to be open to you know, ideas and continue to investigate that in the future.
Now you hear about because a lot of people will throw out something like the Expo Center, and I've heard from people from the Expo Center that have said, you know, if with five schools, just parking over there would be an issue. It's just not as easy as it sounds.
Well, it's the parking, and then it's the you know, when you have two in one night and then three in one day, you know, you're going to have the coming and going too, depending on where you would try to have it. And then obviously seating, where when I was in another school division, the Siegel Center was the venue, and the great thing about that was that there really wasn't a bad seat in the place because you had it was elevated and you could you know, see everything, and so that's another consideration when we look at other venues.
Big weekend, and it occurs to me, and because you've been here a while now, and you've been meeting for years now with you have lunch with kids of all ages. Yeah. To see some of those kids graduate for you, I guess, makes you realize how long you've been here.
Well, it's been 6 years that I've been serving as superintendent, and it's been an honor, and continues to be. I do have an opportunity not only when I meet with students out at schools for special lunches or things that are coordinated through the school, but I also have my own student advisory that I meet with quarterly called STAN, Students Taking a New Direction. And that group is primarily middle and high school, but now I'm seeing after 3 years students who you know, have been a part of that group and have helped advise us on a number of different issues that pertain to students and their experience. And then another thing that has come up is you know that before every school board meeting, we have we open up this administrative services building to the parents and the community to come and see their children's artwork that is being you know, displayed all throughout the building.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to see you know, elementary students or middle school students that have had their artwork at various levels, and the parents will say, "Do you remember when we were here a few years ago?" And now he or she is in high school or getting ready to graduate. So that's a real special thing for me, given, you know, 24,000 students. I don't know everyone's name, but it really does help me to better connect with our students and families on a more personal basis.
Now, and it's so interesting. I mean, I know in my own case, when I got into high school and was kind of struggling along and had a teacher, and I was at a small enough school district where the superintendent pulled me aside and, you know, encouraged me. And there's so many of those kind of stories of kids who've been helped by a teacher or, you know, an administrator, somebody like that. And for this is such a special weekend.
It is. And I think it's, you know, I've always wanted and needed, I think it's fundamental in the work that we do. I have to have those personal connections with the folks that we serve most directly, which is our students. And so I wish that I could have that more, but I continue to try with my staff to be in our schools as much as possible, because there nothing replaces that day-to-day mm-hmm. connection, and it really helps to inform, you know, the leadership that we try to do from the big picture perspective.
The other thing this weekend to be aware of on Friday night and Saturday through midday around all of these high schools, there's going to be a lot of traffic. The sheriff's office will be out.
Yes.
Just expect that you're going to run into some traffic around each of these schools.
Yes, and of course, you know, on a Saturday, whether it's Route 1 or Route 3, you have a lot of traffic anyway. So, you know, we will certainly, the graduations will be impacting that. So
yeah.
It's important to plan for it.
Especially Saturday morning around Massaponics and then, you know, Saturday afternoon around Riverbend. It will be interesting out on Route 1 and Route 3.
It will. Our high schools do a fantastic job, though, with it. And I also appreciate our sheriff's department and folks from fire and rescue. We have a lot of folks that do help with even managing that traffic piece. And so, again, those partnerships will be alive and well over the next few days.
Dr. Scott Baker here with Spotsylvania County Schools. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Scott Baker here this morning with Spotsylvania County Schools. This is graduation weekend. Now, so graduation is Friday and Saturday in Spotsylvania. The school doesn't get out till next. Is it week from today that it gets out next week?
It's actually a week from tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Though next week we have, you know, for our high school, four of those days are half days.
Okay.
And then for elementary, the last couple of days are also half days. But, you know, we'll be into, again, assessments, final exams, and also, you know, those final awards and just kind of closing up the school year.
The end of school. I always remember. I mean, the end of school. Even if you've had a tough year, there's just something about it. There's always it's you know, warm weather's here. There's excitement. You've got the summer ahead of you, and like we said earlier, everybody's ready for a change, a break.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that and folks need a break because the work that we do has a, especially now in this era, that 24/7 feel. And so in order to be fresh and at your best, you need at least some time to, you know, to rest and rejuvenate and reflect on, you know, what went particularly well and what we can continue to do to get better and improve.
This is going to be a different summer, and you've been planning for it. It was about a year and a half ago that the school board made the decision to start school early, and you join what Caroline and King George are early starters. I think Culpeper might be too.
Yes. Yeah. Culpeper, Louisa also.
Okay.
Yes, I'm aware. Now, it's been shared pretty consistently. The majority of the state now has moved to getting a waiver for a pre-Labor Day start. And prior to 2013, you know, we had been doing a pre-Labor Day start in various forms, you know, for, you know, probably 7 or 8 mm-hmm. years prior to that. And then when the switch was made back, one of the reasons was that there had not been really established a consistency in terms of the exact day that we would start. The number it had to do with the number of days in the calendar. But as we began to be aware in the committee that was formed, you know, researched, you know, not only, you know, King George and Caroline, but other school divisions that had been able to realize certain advantages instructionally and in terms of planning your school year, that being able to end your semester by winter break and in before Memorial Day has been, and I've heard from my colleagues in those school divisions that once they were able to get into implementing it, that it's been it's received very good feedback from staff and the community.
Boy, and that's what I hear a lot, and especially from teachers who've done this or are involved in this now, about you finish up, like you say, before winter break, and you've got that, and you come back and you start fresh. Because after having been off for a couple of weeks, and then the weather is bad for testing, so you only hear good things about this once you get there.
Well, and one of the things that is hard to measure is the impact of disruption. You know that you have to have a certain number of days and hours in a school year. But one of the things that we had researched and that we hope to realize is when you have that 3-week earlier start, based on looking at when we typically receive inclement weather, it usually does not begin until January or February. And it also seems like every other year that I have been superintendent, we have weather that comes around the exam time, mm-hmm. and we end up canceling the exams. So the opportunity to have substantially more instructional time in with our students before those disruptions begin, because even if you only miss a half day or even if you only have one day out a week, that start-stop feel for our teachers in terms of instruction and that continuity with students, I really do believe can make a big difference in the quality of their learning experience. So we're hoping, again, that based on our trend, we really benefit from it.
And like you said, the trend seems to be that this is what a lot of schools are doing. And I know Stafford's, again, now looking at it just because everyone around is, and you tend to think – This is where everyone's going to be in a few years.
Yeah, in Virginia, you know, having a lifelong Virginian, you know, I went to school in Virginia, and it has always been that, especially over the last couple of decades, that we still have a law that says you are to go after Labor Day or post Labor Day. But I think if you were to go to other states, we are a bit of an anomaly. We're unique in that way. And I think we're seeing the rest of the state, especially when the focus is on instruction and also understanding that there can be other benefits, even when you look at, vacation times. But I also am not naive, Ted. I think that just like making snow decisions, when you form a calendar yeah. and you are considering the thoughts and perspectives of 50,000 people plus, because you're thinking of all of your students, all of their families. You know that it's not going to please everyone, that decision that's made. And whichever way we've gone since I've been here, whether it was post-Labor Day or pre-Labor Day or now, you know, the significantly pre-Labor Day, you have folks that praise that and are very pleased with it, and you have folks that are initially not pleased. We do hope that once we've gotten into implementing it over the next year or so, that folks, even those that right now are skeptical, will see some advantages to it.
Well, and you mentioned, and I know you've mentioned in a number of meetings, and many school board members have, but I know especially Dr. Meyer has, about this is all the decisions you need to make are academic decisions, and this really is what it comes down to.
Absolutely. And I think some of them you have very specific data that you can use. And others, I say this all the time, and I've shared it with the school board, whether it was a post-Labor Day or a pre-Labor Day start. Our job and leadership is to ensure or to try to support that we maximize whatever time we have. So it's not just the setting aside of days or time, but it's the planning of using and maximizing those days for the benefit of the students. And that won't change just because we have changed our schedule. We still need to, and that's what this summer and really the last year and a half has been about, trying to make sure that we're going to maximize those days.
And when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about just how you've done, how you've been getting ready, and how the schools have, because it's a big change. The funny thing is that I hear from anybody that's done this will talk about that this summer is tough just because there's such a short turnaround personally for everybody. But once you do it, like we said, I heard last week a number of teachers saying, you know, we're going to be, you know, this time next year, we're out by right. this time. And that's kind of that's really the benefit that I guess you point everybody to.
Yeah. In fact, I'm becoming aware that there are even some, you know, post-school year professional development conferences that I'm seeing other school divisions participating in because they're out.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not really feasible for our folks. So I think with the majority of folks going in that direction, I do think it happens. And I think when the school board, you know, to end on this, that the school board made the decision to provide the year and a half notice of the change all in one year. I know that from some of my colleagues, there's been a number of different transitions that school divisions have made. Some have done it over a three-year period, which means that it takes them 3 to 4 years before they're ever fully implementing
yeah.
the concept. And then you have others that did it within a six-month period. So I think there probably isn't an easy way to do it, but I think the sooner that we can get to that, you know, next year and hopefully realizing those benefits, the better.
I think it was Amanda Blalock the night the vote was taken. It was the term was just pulling the Band-Aid off.
Right. But a year and a half to know it was going to be pulled off.
Yes.
This
yeah.
is coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But you're right. To do it with a staggered approach, you wouldn't start seeing the benefits. This way you will see the benefits right away.
Right. And we are excited and have worked with you know, all of our departments to try to be pretty tight in this summer and maximizing that time, because some things that you have to get ready, you know, you have to get ready for a new school year.
Yeah.
And some folks don't realize all that's involved in that, especially for a system our size. But we have been, you know, planning that really for the last year.
We'll talk about some of that planning and how the summer and just the quick turnaround and what's being done. When we come back, Dr. Baker with Spotsylvania County Schools here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Scott Baker here with Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Continuing on a little bit more about the school starting earlier. The maintenance people, I know the summer is a real important time for them, and so I guess they've had been working for a year and a half to get ready for this, because boy, school ends next Friday, and they're probably already getting ready for next fall.
They have been, and obviously we have a number of different capital improvement projects on top of just you're always using that summer to get your school buildings, even just routine and preventative maintenance. You're trying to get them in tip-top shape, ready to start the next school year. But on top of that, we have many projects that take a certain amount of time, and ideally you want to try to get those done when there isn't student or community traffic, you know, coming through, when the building's not being occupied. And one in particular that, you know, I'm sure, again, we can't always control the timing of certain things, but I'm for the folks that are doing our Cortland High School renovation.
Yeah.
They would certainly rather have an additional 3 weeks this summer because this is the biggest summer for them in terms of trying to get a whole lot done towards, you know, realizing the end of that project. But they have been prepared for it, and I think have created schedules and worked collaboratively with all of the folks that are going to be helping to get those projects done so that they can do it. And they've even started, you know, when they can earlier, even, you know, looking at some weekends.
Yeah. Wow. So they'll even be.
We'll have folks that will occasionally do that. Whatever, you know, I think that our maintenance folks and many in our operations have a, you know, whatever it takes approach. And I really appreciate that.
I know the summers, the myth that teachers have the summer off and what a great job it is, a lot of teachers, well, all teachers have to deal at some point and during the summer, during some summers, with just the continuing education. So I guess a lot of them either had to figure out ways to, or you may have doubled it up in the last year or so, or this summer are going to be doing just the kind of classes that they have to take.
Yeah, well, you hit it, and it's an absolute myth. Even since I've been in education and when I was a teacher, the work of a teacher never stops, and trying to get better at what you do never stops. And I know that throughout the summer, we have different professional learning opportunities that we're providing or that we're engaged in, that I see teachers all throughout the summer that are participating in those, that are already planning for the next school year. We have many of our schools, if not all, are having some sort of summer leadership planning retreats that involve many of our teachers, again, trying to utilize the time to get ready for the next school year. So I think, and I'm going to speak specifically to our teachers in Spotsylvania County, I'm very proud of what I see on a daily basis, which is an above and beyond mentality, whatever is going to make us better for our students. And so that's why I say I hope that they do take some time to rest and rejuvenate, because they need it, because I know how hard they continue to work even into the summer and beyond.
Do you have all the teachers you need for next year? Have they all been hired, or are you still in that process?
We're still in that process because even as we filled vacancies through recruitment and job fairs back in the earlier spring, we do have folks that will transition out of our school division, mm-hmm. and then you have certain areas that are a little harder to fill. But last year we fared pretty well as you know, and we were very pleased that we were able to add some positions in our budget going into next year. So when you consider the additional positions that we are going to try to fill on top of vacancies, we still have, a little ways to go, but we're hopeful that as we get into the middle of the summer that we, that comes down to just a handful.
And then the other thing you never know, and you have to adjust especially at the beginning of the school year, is the people that either wait to register or just you just have the people you're not expecting.
No, that's absolutely true. And we have segments of our community that are increasingly transient. And I gave this example the other day. I know one of our middle schools literally does every Friday does a new student orientation. Well, you would say, well, why do you do a new student orientation every week? Well, because it was getting to the point that they were having new students coming in all throughout the year. And that was just from, folks coming in and relocating and wanting to get to know those students because they could come in at any time of the year. So I think that's something else that is hard to plan for, but you try to be as proactive as possible.
Boy, and that you talk about things that we don't hear about or think about with what teachers have to do, that affects the dynamics of a classroom and just what teachers have to do.
Well, and when your mission is to prepare every student to reach every student that walks through your doors, it does create a great deal of pressure on all of us, but particularly on individual classroom teachers. And so that's one of the reasons that with many of our new positions, we're trying to provide additional support staff, particularly those that work in counseling and social work and for students with special needs, so that we can try to be as proactive in advance of meeting those needs, but then be able to, again, identify those needs as soon as they, walk through our doors and try to help them.
Well, I know you mentioned the budget, and you mentioned you think of the economy and things improving, and you able to put some things back from that you slowly building back with the economy and all. But boy, the thing I hear from a lot of teachers in the area is just the number of classes they have and the number of students, and just a thing that you never think about, just learning names. I hear a lot of teachers who just say it gets harder and harder as you just, even if you add a student, we look at class sizes and just a student or two, Those are more names to have to learn, and it can get tough for some teachers who teach so many classes.
Well, and that is the experience. And one of the things that is hard to it's difficult to explain, but I think it's worthwhile to continue to try to articulate to all of our stakeholders, all those that would support us in public schools, and particularly here in Spotsylvania, is that because your number of students doesn't increase does not mean that your needs do not increase. Because as we have to be more keenly focused on all that we have to educate with a student socially, emotionally, not just academically, we are asking that all of us develop strong relationships with each student, with families. We're asking to increase and enhance communication with students and families, more feedback. So as we increase our expectations of what we want to provide for students and families, and their needs are also simultaneously increasing, it's very difficult for teachers and schools to be able to meet those needs. It's one of the reasons, Ted, that we continue to try to build capacity even through our community. We are starting a framework for mentoring called Aspire, where we're trying to have more and more volunteers, adults in our community who would like to be mentors at all different levels. And we also are launching a new initiative called Bright Futures that would put together a community and business leader advisory committee that would then be able to help provide additional things for our schools and students that we will just probably never have enough budget capacity to meet. And so I think what teachers are sharing with you is certainly what the experience is, which is, again, why I appreciate, the quality of the teachers that we have.
As I drive around Spotsylvania especially, you see all the building and the new houses and subdivisions going up. I haven't heard this talked about, but is redistricting something that's going to have to be looked at? Because I know Massaponics is pretty crowded right now. I don't know about other schools, but I know as far as a high school goes, yeah, Massaponics has a lot of students.
It is recently the school board approved an updated policy in terms of rezoning and redistricting, as well as our transfer regulation. And over the next year, per that updated policy, we will be looking at redistricting, particularly looking at Massaponics and some of the border areas. You know, we had a comprehensive study done by an outside group called Planning the Plan. And in the second phase of that, they really looked at, here are some border areas that the school board might want to look at that could potentially shift populations. The complexity of it, though, is that when you have development coming into primarily one area, we want to always keep the long view and not just look in an isolated fashion just at Massaponics, because we could also see middle schools and elementary schools within that Lee Hill district particularly that could get impacted as that growth comes in. But we will be doing that over the next year. And we also are looking to launch more specialty types of programs and academies, which also could shift populations based on choice of programs, like we currently have with the Career and Technical Center, Commonwealth Governor's School, yeah, the International Baccalaureate Program. And so one of the things we continue to show, even with Massaponics, its total enrollment is over capacity. It's block by block when students are actually in the building is a little bit better. But we understand, not only from a perception standpoint, but for how the building was designed for hallway traffic and all of those sorts of things, you can only be so proactive. Eventually, you have to just relieve the number of students that are zoned to go there.
Now, I know in my own situation, my kids, especially in elementary school, were moved around a bunch of times. And it's tough because you get so focused, because I think my kids started at Battlefield and ended up at Freedom over the years, and you get so ingrained in a school, and it's tough, but it's a reality, especially in fast growing areas like where we live.
Well, we'll be enacting a process, and I always hope that we can enact a process that folks will feel is not only inclusive, but that really considers all different kinds of possibilities. And I've shared this, and it's not meant to be cynical or facetious. It's just that a lot of times folks naturally will say there needs to be redistricting until it impacts them. And they go, well, that's not exactly what we meant. You know, what we meant is you needed to relieve it, but not necessarily from this neighborhood or from that neighborhood. But I think we are looking with our process to maybe see if in the end there could be some flexibility to whatever the recommendations are. But I would say by this time next year, hopefully there have been recommendations that have been approved by the school board.
Oh, it's tough. It really is tough, especially when you go to like the orientation. You just feel like you don't know where anything is, or you're lost. Or if you, in some cases, I know when Riverbend opened up, my kids had friends that across the street that went to Riverbend, and others went to Chancellor, and it was it's definitely. But that's again, that's. And it's one of the tougher things.
It is. And one thing that's a bit of a challenge, too, even at our high school level, is that based on design capacity, four of our five high schools are at 90% or above or close to that. And so really, with the exception of Spotsylvania High School, there's not right now at the high school level that much available capacity. And then as we consider Spotsylvania High School, that's where we have a number of specialty programs already. So eventually, you know, depending on growth, and that's what we're trying to get ahead of, you know, we'll have to consider a number of different things.
Dr. Scott Baker here with Spotsylvania County Schools. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Scott Baker here this morning with Spotsylvania County Schools. Good conversation about what's going on. One of the things, and I guess this is one thing to watch for us, but and we were talking just about a short summer and everything. Before you know it, you're going to be putting out the list, you know, for bus stops and all that kind of thing for the fall. That will come fast. And just even the, you know, the back to school nights and that kind of thing, the things that we're used to in September we're going to start getting a lot of those reminders during the summer.
Yeah. That's again, I've been a big part of trying to, plan over the last year and a half to understand that we have to update some timelines, and that's a part of our calendar, and we can see it on paper. But it's different when you have, especially folks that have been in the school division and parents who've been with us for a while, you internalize it. You know, you have almost like an internal clock, and there are going to be some change pains that go with that. But we're going to try to be as persistent and proactive with the communication on those things, understanding that it's going to feel different. So we'll try to make sure we're notifying our community as much as possible.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's just going to feel different this summer. And I know in past years, the last few years, when Caroline and Culpeper and King George would go back to school, and you'd hear about it, you're kind of taken aback, like, already? Well, that's going to be Spotsylvania this year. But like you say, that's, you know, once – there's just going to be a lot of benefits once we all adjust to it. And you all are going to have to adjust.
I think so. I know that certainly the biggest concern usually that's been expressed has been, vacations for families. And I certainly understand and appreciate that with a family of my own. And that certainly probably has the biggest impact. But I also have, you know, heard other perspectives on it. And one is that by the beginning of August, or even getting towards the middle of August, you have many folks that are like, I'm ready for my children to be engaged in education, not because they don't love them or don't want to spend time with them, but they like them to get engaged with school, and that's a part of the routine. And then at high school, so many students are already doing different things back at school, whether it's in athletics or whether it's in other types of activities, that it has that feel that it's almost – they're already back in August. Now, teachers – again, going back to, the quality and dedication of our teachers, principals would tell you that they have to try to keep their teachers out during many parts of the year, but particularly once we get into August, because they're already wanting to come in and look at their rooms and start getting things ready for the next school year. So I think it will be, there will be those growing pains, but I think you will have folks that will also be glad to be able to benefit from it.
And like you say, for families that have athletes, if you're in a fall sport, practice a lot of times starts on August 1st, and so you have to adjust vacations anyway. So
right.
They are. As far as graduations, again, this is the weekend, Friday and Saturday. Friday night at 5 at Chancellor, 7:30 at Cortland, then Saturday 9 o'clock at Massaponics. Noon at Spotsylvania High, Riverbend at 3 o'clock. There'll be traffic around, so just be aware of that in Spotsylvania. And you and the school board will be up on stage for each of these.
Yes, we are looking forward to it, and it's a whirlwind, especially on Saturday. You know, you go from one to the next, and our school board. Like me, many of them during different ceremonies, especially if it's in their district and it's a little bit more personal for them, they even get up and help with congratulating individual graduates. So, again, I'm very proud to be a part of a school board and school division that takes that kind of time and puts that effort in to support our graduates.
And I'm sure, as you said, at each of those schools, and look around and you see the just all the family members and the pride that they have, and it's all the work that you put in, you know, every hour, every day, almost with this. This is really the big weekend.
It is, and you do get to experience at least to a small degree just that all the different emotions that are circulating throughout. That gymnasium with parents and family members, just the pride, the excitement, a little bit of the sorrow, because none of us can believe when our kids get to that place that it's happened, because the time has gone by so swiftly. But again, we do try to share in that as an entire school community, and it's just a great moment to be a part of.
Well, Dr. Baker, thanks for another great year. It's been a great year for Spotsylvania Schools, and
thank you.
We'll get together in the fall and do this again.
I appreciate that, Ted. Thank you.
Dr. Scott Baker, superintendent with Spotsylvania County Schools, here this morning. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.